Thanks for tuning in and making Res Life a part of your day. Whether this is your first time listening or this is a part of your weekly rhythm, we are glad you're here. If you'd like to connect more throughout the week, check us out at reslife.org, download our app, or follow us on social media. It's time for today's message, so let's dive in.
Let's go ahead and get going into this. Can we just start off with an admission that at the church at large in the past 30 years, can we just admit there's been bad teaching on finances? Can we just admit that? There's also been bad teaching on heaven, and I still plan on going there. There's been bad teaching on grace, and I still plan on receiving it every day of my life, right? So fear of error is not a reason to ignore the truth. If you're ignoring the truth, you're already in error, right? So let me give you my definition of prosperity before anyone gets too nervous. You guys ready for this? Jim Baker talking of prosperity. Some of you, this is your worst nightmare, right? But like I say, Jim Baker with 1K and no Tammy Faye. You guys ready? Here's my definition of prosperity. You have no financial debt, and you have more than enough resources to fulfill every divine assignment God has for you, and enough left over to help others fulfill theirs. Let me say it again. You have no financial debt. Financial leverage is something different. You have no financial debt, and you have more than enough resources to fulfill every divine assignment God has for you, and enough left over to help others fulfill theirs. Now, notice I didn't say every Christian is going to be a zillionaire. Right? What it means is you're going to have finances in proportion to your assignment. God wants to give you the provision for your vision. So if you're a farmer in Uganda, your finances are going to look different than someone who's called to reach the Hollywood elite. Like, which one's better? Well, neither one's better, right? The idea is we stay in our lane, and God gives us the resources we need for our assignment. Listen, guys, if God can get money to you, if God can get money through you, he'll get money to you, and there'll be plenty left over for you. Listen, when the priority of your finances is on God and other people, God will take better care of you on accident than you can take care of yourself on purpose. All right, I want you to think of yourself like a hose, okay? Imagine resources flowing through you. The water are those resources. You are that hose. The inside of a hose gets wet. And here's some good news. God's name is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. All right, God doesn't mind meeting your needs in style. He just doesn't want you pursuing style as like, you know, as what your heart is going after. So I don't know about you, I grew up in a church that was a big missions organization. Our church gave $1 million a year to missions. My wife grew up in a church that gave $1 million a year to missions. We would often hear stories that went like this. The missionary family, they're out in the field and they're completely broke. They've got no resources, no food, but by faith they would set the table, the plate, the knives, the fork, they would set it by faith and they would hold hands and pray. And as they're praying, there'd be a knock at the door and they would open up the door and there'd be a family standing there with groceries. Their needs were met supernaturally. Now, how many of you guys have heard a story like that before? Like, we need stories like that. Here's what we need even more. We need people like you who have the resources and the ability to hear from God on where to deploy those resources, right? So let me tell you what I'm going after. I believe I'm speaking to an army today, not an audience. We need an army of people who can turn their dollars into soldiers to accomplish kingdom purposes. That's what I'm talking about, kingdom wealth builders, right? Now, what are the two, am I going too fast? Are we okay here? All right, sometimes people think they're at an auction, like start bidding, I start talking too fast, I gotta be careful here. And so what are the two doctrines that have been fought against the most in the past 30 years in the body of Christ? Probably healing and finances. It's that health and wealth gospel, right? Well, guys, there's no such thing as a health and wealth gospel, but the gospel of the kingdom prospers and heals. All right, and so listen, if the enemy can keep you sick and poor, he's gonna severely limit your destiny. Now, nobody needs to feel bad about their current finances, but guys, we've got to raise our eyes and see what exactly did Jesus pay for. So let's just admit there was some errors in the 80s and 90s in the health and wealth movement. A lot of good, but there was some, you know, there was some errors. And one of the ideas happened as a reaction to the prosperity movement, and it said this, that prosperity, it's, or poverty is a value. It's good to be poor. You know, spiritual, it's spiritual to have poverty and be in lack. How many of you guys have heard that before? It's kind of hinted at. It's good to be poor, right? Let me ask you this. If poverty is so spiritual, why does the Bible tell us to give to the poor? Wouldn't that just ruin their spirituality? I tell you, one of the poorest ways to help the poor is to be poor. Again, nobody needs to feel bad, but guys, we've got to see what the Bible says. Has anyone in here besides me ever been broke? Okay? Well, here's what the King James would say about it. It stinketh. Right, there's nowhere in the New Testament that says that poverty is such a good thing. Lord, give me a double portion of poverty, right? Let me tell you this, you can be broke and not be poor. You can be broke and not be poor. Broke is a temporary financial condition. Poverty is a lens that only sees meager possibilities. Listen, guys, when you're only seeing meager possibilities, it's gonna severely limit God's ability to get involved in your finances. Here's what I'm trying to say. Prosperity starts with who you have, not what you have, okay? God's called each one of us to be stewards, and everything in the Bible that gets stewarded multiplies and increases. If you're going to be a steward, you know what that means? It means you're gonna have to have something to steward. Some people think, I get something nice, I got to give it away. I get something nice, I got to give it away. Some people would rather give their stuff away than learn how to steward it for increase. If it's so good to be poor, why does the Bible say this in Genesis 26? That the Lord blessed Isaac so that he became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. No, it was God who blessed Isaac. It wasn't the devil. If poverty is so spiritual, why are we told to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? How many of you guys realize there's no poverty in heaven? There's no inflation in heaven, thank you, Jesus. There's no recession. There's no 30,000-year mortgages on the mansions in heaven. See, God has abundance. The enemy has a budget. That was a dramatic pause. If money's so bad for us, why doesn't Satan just pour it on Christians and watch them backslide into hell? The more money, the quicker they backslide. If money's so bad for us, why did Satan take it away from Job? If money's so bad for us, why did God reward Job with a double portion at the end of his life? Why is the good man the one who leaves an inheritance to his children's children? Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We all love that verse. Every religious person on the planet loves that verse. But when the second part of the verse comes true, and all these things will be added. What are all the things? Food, shelter, clothing, the provision for the vision. When these things begin to be added, the religious spirit begins to go, hold on, I'm not too sure about this thing. See, religion has no problem with a person who's $1 million in debt getting debt free. But if they go $1 million in the positive, religion is going to begin to have big problems. So the first error is saying that poverty is spiritual, it's good to be poor. The second error is equally as perverted. The second error says that your spirituality is measured by the size of your house or how much money we make or how much we own. How many of you guys have heard that hinted at before somewhere in Christianity, right? Like you're, okay? So let me just say this. Your material possessions are not a sign of God's blessing unless they are. Okay, there's actually times in the Bible where a person's material possession was actually tied to the hand of God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the house of Obed-Edom, Solomon, right? And so here's what it means. You don't get to judge another man's harvest when you don't know what kind of seed they planted. So the pressure's off. We don't have to be the prosperity police trying to figure out who's got too much money. So let me ask you guys a question. How much money is too much money? You guys ever thought about this? How much money is too much money? Here's my answer. It's whatever amount replaces trust in God. Some people get 100 bucks in their pocket, they forget there's a God in heaven. Other people, 100 million doesn't even move them because their heart is so anchored in the invisible realm. So loving God doesn't mean you have to be broke, and having money doesn't necessarily mean you're godly. Just ask the mafia, right? And so here's the deal with money. Money is to the natural realm what the anointing is to the supernatural realm. It's just a way to get things done. It's a way to make things happen. So think about it like this. If I went over to Pastor Dwayne's house, he would not take me into his garage and begin showing me his shovel collection. Oh, my daughter, she bedazzled the handle of this one. You guys remember the bedazzler? You know, we got a platinum handle. Like, no one's bragging about their shovel collection because it's a tool to accomplish kingdom. It's a tool to accomplish purposes. Guys, we've got to get a kingdom view of finances. It's just a tool to accomplish purposes. We don't get our self-worth from our net worth, okay? Money is just a tool. And part of it is to turn dollars into soldiers to accomplish kingdom purposes. Part of that's to provide for your needs so you can enjoy the goodness of God with God. Part of that's to build a house of hope on the property. My goodness, that house, you guys, we got to tour it yesterday. What a kingdom thing. Amazing. It takes money to rescue women coming out of human trafficking. It takes money to preach the gospel. If you cannot afford to go to the store, you cannot afford to go into all the world. All right. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9:8. I hope you got your shouting shoes on. You guys ready for this one? And God is able to make a little bit of grace squirt out to you if you're good enough. No, that's not what it says. Remember, when he calls it a grace, it means it was paid for at the cross. Here's what it says. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you would abound in every good work. Do you think the Holy Spirit was in a good mood when he wrote this verse? Let me give you the context of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, two whole chapters talking about finances and giving. And in the middle of this, he says, God is able to make all grace. There's actually a supernatural ability from God that comes in your life as part of salvation, not as an extra, so that you can abound in every good work. Guys, if this verse isn't true, then John 3:16 is not true. Here's what this verse means. God wants your finances to grow to the point that anytime there's a need that comes across your path and your heart is moved to meet that need, you have a stream of income to meet that need. There's a lot of people who might be sitting there and saying, Jim, I don't believe I'll ever get there. Listen, I get it, but we're gonna need to overcome that unbelief before you get very far. Here's the truth, guys. There's no way for you to know your true financial potential once God gets involved. Your past with money does not prophesy your future with money. What if you're sitting here today and you said, you know what, my finances are here a little bit of a mess, but I'm going on an adventure with God. I'm gonna make trusting God the most enjoyable thing ever. I think you'd be on an adventure of a lifetime. Listen, I've seen single moms who literally did not know how they were going to feed their kids, $40,000 in debt, within 12 months, get completely out of debt, have thousands of dollars extra, started a business, be able to be generous. We've seen stories like this multiplied over and over again. Why? Because once God gets involved, everything changes. See, one of the biggest problems people have with prosperity is they think it's selfish, okay? Prosperity is not selfish because it's not all about you. It's not about building bigger barns and, you know, and lifestyles of the rich and famous. Real prosperity is defined by how much we give away, not how much we keep for ourselves. See, real prosperity is about blessing, not possessing, right? Biblical prosperity is not about toys and trinkets. It's about influence and impact. It's about making more money to do more good. Let me ask you this question. I want you to think about this. If you had more money, could you make more impact? Like, hashtag duh, of course you could. More money equals more impact. That's what we're talking about here. God wants you to become the kind of person who can carry the weight of blessing so it doesn't crush you. So as he adds increase into your life, you can keep a pure heart and steward it for the kingdom. Can I just flip this thing on its head? This might be shocking to some of you. So can we, are you guys ready? You got your seatbelts on? You guys ready for this? It's actually selfish for you to not desire prosperity. See, what if prosperity isn't optional? What if being blessed is actually required? See, when God only provides for your needs, the world will lack a revelation of an abundant Father. So David gives us this prayer in Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2 to help us straighten it out. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. I don't know about you guys, that sounds like revival to me. God's saying, listen, Lord, put your hand of blessing on me so people will know what you're like. That's an incredible prayer. I believe one of the most underrated tools for ministering in this world is having a blessed life. And it's not just measured by dollars. It's having peace in the midst of trial. It's being kind when people aren't kind to you. It's your kids wanting to spend time with you even when they're old enough to not have to, right? And so sometimes I get this kind of, again, no one needs to feel bad about their current circumstances, but we got to break off this ceiling so we can see what God paid for us so we can attach our faith to it. So here's some reactions I get from people, okay? Well, Jim, I don't know. This sounds to me like a bless me club. Well, I got some good news for you. Jesus did not die for a curse me club. Right? And just what's wrong with a bless me club? Because Christians, the more we're blessed, the more we become a blessing. Remember Father Abraham? Don't make me sing the Father Abraham song. Blessed to be a blessing. I hear this one a lot. Jim, I just want enough to provide for me and my family. Wow, you selfish pig. That's the spirit of stupid and the spirit of poverty getting married and having a child together. Let me translate that for you. My needs are met. Who gives a rip about the rest of the world? See, religion wants you to keep so small, just me and my needs. Guys, there's a world out there in need. There are people who have not yet heard the gospel. There are women who need rescue. There are hospitals that need to be built and wells that need to be dug and lots of needs in our city. Margaret Thatcher, the former Prime Minister of England, said this, "No one would have remembered the Good Samaritan if he'd only had good intentions. He had money as well." This may not be a revelation for people, but you cannot fill someone else's cup when your pitcher's empty. Right? You cannot be a big giver if you don't have a big abundance to give from. So I like to say it like this. Affluence is for influence. Income is for impact. Prosperity has a purpose. Another thing I hear people say, well, Jim, money can't buy happiness. How many of you guys have said money? Heard that before. Money can't buy happiness. People who say money can't buy happiness, they just simply haven't given enough of it away. I'll tell you, I've watched it buy happiness over and over again. We have a human trafficking project. Remember, there's a lady there named Latisse. She was 8 months pregnant. She only had the clothes in her back and her cell phone. And I tell you what, she was happy when, at this time, we didn't have a building for her to live in. We put her in a house. One of our small groups actually rescued her. And so they got they rented the truck, got furniture put in the truck, rented an apartment, filled up her fridge with food, baby formula, got all that stuff needed. You know, as we watched her give her life to the Lord and have her needs met and be able to get a fresh start, you know what? She was happy. She was happy. And I'm not saying it can buy ultimate joy or anything like that, but I remember one time I was sitting in my office and I was at home working in the office. There was a knock at the door and there was a young man selling cable television. You know, sometimes you're just not in the mood to be sold on stuff, you know? So I'm trying to like gently shut the door in his face in the name of Jesus. Trying to be kind about it. But you know, good salespeople, they're trained in like those one-liner objection overcomers, right? And so I'm trying to shut it and he gives me one of those one-liners. I'm like, All right, that's actually pretty good. I'm going to listen to what he has to say. So he listens. I'm listening. I'm like, all right, fine, I'll buy cable. And so he comes on in, and I'm realizing, like, he's on my turf now. I'm going to tell him about Jesus. How many of you guys know, your domain, like, you get to say whatever you want. Tell them about Jesus when they're in your house. So he's in the house, and so I said, hey, do you have any? I started telling him testimonies, of healing testimonies. And he says, listen, I don't believe in God. I said, that's okay. God believes in you. I said, do you have any pain in your body? And I didn't have a word of knowledge. I was just kind of fishing. And he says, well, I was a Muay Thai kickboxer. He says, my jaws come unhinged, and I've got carpal tunnels in both arms. I said, well, why don't you take off the braces so we can see if you got some improvement? So we pray for him, and enough breakthrough happens that he knows this God. I just honestly, I don't remember if he got completely healed or not. I don't think it's good to exaggerate. That's what Ananias and Sapphira did. It didn't work out so well. So he at least had it. He had enough breakthrough that he knows this God, and now he's crying. And so he just opens up his life to me. He says, listen, he says, I'm living with this girl, and her sister was a prostitute. She sold her body for heroin. She just overdosed on heroin and died. He says, she has two kids. We now have to raise the two kids, and we don't even have money to pay for the funeral. I feel like the Lord said, Jim, write the check. And so I said, hey, how much do you owe for the funeral? And he told me, so I went in the next room, wrote out a check and gave it to him, and handed it to him, and he's really crying. He said, why are you doing this? I said, listen, I'm just showing you how God feels about you. And so we exchanged phone numbers, and after he left, I told my wife, oh, by the way, my wife here, Mary Baker, thank you. The visible evidence of God's goodness on my life, yes. And so I said, babe, I feel like I'm supposed to go to this funeral. And so I text him. I'm like, hey, bro, would it be weird if I came? And he's like, no, come. And so just so you know, in our movement, we don't dress up a lot. You know, so we've got one suit and two ties. We got the wedding tie and the funeral tie. So I show up in my little wedding, my one suit and my funeral tie. You know, so I'm there. And I walk in there, not trying to stereotype, but it is like a rough-looking crowd. It's like the former baby mamas and the former baby daddies. And they're yelling at each other. And there looks like there's about to be a fist fight. So, of course, what am I going to do in a fist fight? Like headbutts to the fist? Like wear down their knuckles with my face? Like what am I going to do? So I'm hiding. I'm not, yeah, I may be fooling you. I'm actually not as tough as I look, okay? And so I'm not like Mr. Outdoors. I actually got sunburnt from my Kindle reader. It was horrible. So I'm kind of hiding in the back row, trying to not die. And I'm just like, Lord, you know, like, you know, receive my spirit, you know, if this is it. And so this big guy comes up to me, and he just looks really tough. And he says, hey, are you that guy that gave money to the funeral? I said, yes, sir. And his eyes well up with tears. He says, wow, I've never heard of anything like that before. I was like, oh, okay. And so I kind of sat up with like a little bit more confidence. And the guy who sold cable says, hey, everybody, that's my pastor. I'm like, your pastor, you didn't even believe in God 2 days ago. Like, what are you talking about here? So the two kids, he whispers to them who I am. They run up and jump in my lap and call me Uncle Jim. What is going on here? I'll tell you what's going on here. It's Proverbs 25:22. Here it is in the Passion Translation. The context is an unbeliever. Your surprising generosity will awaken his conscience, and God will reward you with favor. Man, what are you talking about? Your dollars can actually be turned into soldiers to accomplish kingdom purposes. I tell you what, there are people who will not want to hear the gospel about Jesus. You'll tell them healing testimonies and they won't be impressed. But they hear about a house that you put on your property and they're like, man, that's true religion. That's true Christianity. So different people get hit by different things. I just want you to hear that. Your surprising generosity can awaken the conscience of an unbeliever. I'm not saying you can buy divine joy or peace or you can't buy salvation, but here's what money can do. It can spread the gospel. It can feed the poor. It can clothe the broken. It can plant churches and hospitals and rescue women coming out of human trafficking. And it can show a young man who really needed to know that God loved him by paying for a funeral. Here's the key to the whole thing. Here's the reason I believe most Christians are not prospering. That was all my introduction. You guys ready for the message? All right. Matthew 6:24, these are the words of Jesus right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. No one can serve two masters. No, he didn't say, hey, it's really tough. You know, you can do it if you really try. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, some of your Bible translations will say God and money. There'll be like a little footnote there. You look in the margin of your Bible, it's the Aramaic word mammon. So here's the question. You cannot serve God and mammon. What's mammon? Mammon was the demon god of Syria, whose name meant the power of riches. So Jesus, the master teacher, he's saying, listen, you can either give your heart over to the one true God or this spiritual influence behind money. So get this, here's what mammon is. Mammon tries to get you to look to money the way you're supposed to look to the one true God. So if you begin to feel more secure and more significant when you've got more money in your checking account, that's the spirit of mammon, because your security and your significance comes from God himself. Do you see how sneaky this thing is? So here's what I want to do. I want to read you some popular Bible verses, but I want to read you what they sound like when the spirit of mammon twists them. You guys ready for this? Okay, so just, you know, these are not actual scriptures. This is what it sounds like when they get twisted. You guys ready for this? Where does my help come from? My help comes from money. When I have money, it leads me beside still waters. Money is an ever-present help in time of need. My money shall supply all my needs. Money gives me the peace that passes understanding. A day in the mall is better than thousands elsewhere. And see, behind mammon is this great lie that God doesn't take care of you. God doesn't really care about you. He takes care of those great missionaries and those great pastors, but you're not one of those people. So you need to spend a whole bunch of time worrying about money and being anxious about money. Okay? Here's the truth, guys. You don't need more money. You need to understand God and his kingdom better. So here's what mammon looks like. It's fear on one side and it's greed on the other, but the message is the same. There's never enough. And it gets personal. There's never enough for you. So what's it look like to, if you cannot serve God and mammon, what's it look like to serve mammon? Let's look at the next verse, Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? You guys ready for this? Anxiety and worry are to the spirit of mammon what praise and worship are to the one true God. Literally, the way that you worship mammon is by being anxious about money. See, fear is faith in the devil. Worry is a form of atheism because it's imagining your future without God. See, faith is imagining your future with God. So I got some super good news for you. God's already in your future. He'll be there when you get there, so you don't need to worry. So when you begin to get anxious, just imagine God in your future. Listen, guys, God's supernatural cannot flow into fear and worry. It's like putting up an umbrella when God's trying to rain blessings on your life. We got to break it off, which we're going to do today. Let me just tell you, you don't need more money. You need a greater relationship with the source. How many of you guys recognize the Old Testament prophets had it rough? Like, if you looked at some of those stories, Isaiah walked around naked for 3 years. I'm like, I don't even take my shirt off at the pool anymore. Like last time I did, there was threats of lawsuit for some retinal damage caused from the glare spots because my body was so white. Hosea married a prostitute named Gomer. I'm thinking, dude, her name was Gomer. You should have known things were about to go horribly wrong, right? So my apologies to any Gomers, right? Ezekiel was asked to cook his food over his own dung. Like, that's hilarious when you're in junior high, but as an adult, that's disgusting, right? And so God tells Elijah, I want you to prophesy a famine. He's like, I'm an Old Testament prophet. I love prophesying famines in the land that you're living in. He's like, man, can we prophesy over the Amorites, the termites, the parasites, the cellulites, the mosquito bites? He's like, no, in the land that you're living in. And so he says, don't worry, I've got a sweet resource of provision for you. I want you to go down to the brook Cherith. Remember this? He's got the water, the Amazon now, ravens are bringing him food. Everything's going good until the brook dries up. What do most Christians do when the brook dries up? They start freaking out. This tithing isn't working. God's forsaken me, right? I mean, guys, I want you to get this. Don't confuse the source with the resource. Don't confuse the source with the resource. The source is God himself. That will never change. The resource is going to change many times in your life. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it still is. No judgment here. Your different jobs, 401ks, Social Security, different things. Those are just resources of provision. But God himself is the source and will never change. So every time in the story where the channel of provision is changing for Elijah, here's the very next verse. You guys ready for this? And the word of the Lord came to Elijah. If you're sitting here, you're watching online, and you're in a season where your resource of provision is dried up, the channel of provision is changing, what do you need to do? You need to get the word of the Lord. So Elijah seeks the Lord, and God says, I want you to go and find a widow in the city of Zarephath. I'm sure he was like, Lord, did you say window? Is it like a window of blessing? No, Elijah, she's a widow. Lord, is widow like the last name of like a Boaz type person? No, Elijah, she's a widow. Why was this so strange? There wasn't like a lot of female entrepreneurs on Shark Tank in the ancient Near East, right? Like her husband was her resource of provision. So he goes there, he sees a lady there, and she's forging through the rubble, trying to find enough sticks to start a fire. How many of you know that ain't a good sign in your new resource of provision, when she doesn't even have enough sticks to start a fire? So Elijah says, hey, can I have something to eat? And she's like, hey, it's kind of a bad time. My son and I, we got a little bit of flour. We got a little bit of oil. We're going to make one last meal. Then we're going to eat it. And then we're going to die. Not the mighty faith declaration you're looking for in your new resource of provision. So I don't know about you. I'm expecting Elijah to take up an offering for this woman, find some people of means in the city. You guys remember, Elijah does take up an offering for himself. Remember this? He says, bake me a cake as fast as you can. Remember, he says, make me a cake and bring it to me that I might eat of it. Can you just see the local newspaper? Prophet of God takes last meal from widow. Right? I mean, the Old Testament prophets, they had it rough. What is going on here? Why is he saying this? Listen, guys, where was she putting her trust? She was putting her trust in a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. And Elijah knew if he can get her eyes off of the resource and onto the source, supernatural provision could flow in her life. I got some super good news for you guys. If you can get your eyes off of the resource onto the source, your life is not dependent on your job, your 401k, your parents. Your life's dependent on the living God. And if you get nothing else out of this message, let this phrase hit your heart. You ready for this? Nobody can take better care of me than Dad. That's the message in one sentence. When you say nobody can take better care of me than Dad, you literally step into financial freedom. You've turned your finances over to God. A lot of people have made God Lord and Savior, but they hadn't made him provider. They didn't trust him as provider, so they feel like they're on their own. They're in this earth-cursed system by the sweat of their brow. But you've been redeemed from that. You've entered into a kingdom that's governed by a father who is relentlessly committed to you and actually has a blood covenant with you, says, and one of his names is provider. Matthew 6:26, the next verse. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I got some good news for you. Provision comes to you because God loves you more than birds. Most people, they're trying to get their needs met through sowing and reaping or through storing in barns. And sowing and reaping is not to get your needs met. It's to increase your harvest of righteousness. So you guys, as Christians, we don't give to get. We give to get so we can give away even more. All right, I'll just keep going with that one. You guys know your motive is actually more important than the amount. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, if you give away all your possessions and you have not love, it profits you nothing. Yeah, so God's after our heart with these things. So next time you're in fear, here's what I want you to do. I want you to open up the door. Well, in Michigan, it might not work in the wintertime. I was going to say, look for the birds, but I'm from Michigan, so I remember there's like 3 months a year where there's birds, right? And so I want you to open the door and look for birds. And guess what? You've never seen an anorexic bird. You'll never see a bird starving to death, and you never will. Why? Because God takes care of the birds. And he says, have this sparrow faith. There's something on the inside where those sparrows know, nobody can take better care of me than Dad. And when you do that, you step into financial freedom. When you understand this, you can literally walk in your place of business tomorrow. And if you're an employee, your boss could hand you a pink slip and your blood pressure doesn't even increase because nobody can take better care of me than Dad. Imagine if my kids, when they were little, they came home and they said, Dad, I gave away 10% of my sandwich. Can I have dinner? I'd be a horrible father if my kids thought they had to perform in order for me to provide. God's going to provide for you because he loves you. We give because it's wisdom. We give because it increases our harvest of righteousness, but he's going to provide for you because he loves you. So you can step into financial freedom today when you recognize that you can turn your finances over to God and nobody can take better care of me than Dad. So here's what I want to do. I want to break off the spirit of mammon off of your life. Anyone in here, anyone online? And when I say spirit, don't picture like a demon wrapped around your brain, okay? Picture Ephesians 4, which says, be made new in the spirit of your mind, okay? There's a mindset, there's a lens. And when we've seen people that they get free from this, and you'll be amazed at how things begin to turn around in their lives. Prosperity begins to get into life because prosperity starts in the inside. You prosper as your soul prospers, right? It always starts as an inside job. So here's what I want to do. We're going to do an exercise. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit a question. And here's the question. Holy Spirit, what am I worried about that you don't want me to worry about? Okay, so let me. Can we just do a 20-second hearing God training? You guys ready for this? Okay, so I'm going to give you that question in just a moment. So here's a hearing God training. When I count to three, I want you to say your first, middle, and last name in your mind, not out loud. Okay? First, middle, last name in your mind, not out loud. Ready? 1, 2, 3. All right. A lot of times, that's what God's voice is going to sound like to you. When you're born again, it says your spirit and his spirit became one spirit. And so his voice is going to sound like your voice. It's going to be better than your thoughts could be. Sometimes it just comes out of the blue, but it's going to be. So a lot of people, they're waiting for like, I'm your father. Like waiting for like some James Earl Jones, like Darth Vader type voice. You're going to be waiting a long time if you're waiting for that. Okay? So it's going to sound like your voice. You're going to ask him and you're going to have a thought. Okay? Or just do this. Let's close your eyes and I want you to imagine your favorite spot that's warm. Can you see it in your mind? Okay? Now open your eyes. Come back to me, people. Some of you, you're staying there. Come back to me. We got a few minutes left here. And so sometimes God will just give you a picture. And now he'll speak to you in pictures. He'll speak to you with just that sudden knowing. Okay? So here we go. Here's the question. I'm not sure if we're going to have it up on the screen or not. But now, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to worry about that you don't want me to worry about? And just ask the Holy Spirit that, see what he brings to mind, and we're going to do something with that worry. So I'll see you guys in 30 seconds. All right, let's do this. Let's have everybody stand up and take out your wallets. Just kidding. That's a terrible joke. It's so bad, and I'm sorry. Here's what I want to do. I do want to take up an offering. I want to take up an offering of your worries. There's a verse in 1 Peter 5:7. It says, cast your cares on Jesus because he cares for you. Listen, guys, we are not meant to carry stress and worry and anxiety. There's so many medical studies that show how bad it is. So here's what I want to do. On the count of three, we're going to do something. It may seem a little different, and if you're comfortable, do this. But we're going to take our worries. We're going to put them into a ball. We're going to close our eyes so no one else can see us. And on the count of three, we're going to cast our cares. I want you to just literally like throw those worries. And I believe there's going to be something that's going to be broken off of your life as we do this. And so let's pray a prayer before we do this. And so maybe if it helps you to put your hand in your heart, we're going to break off the spirit of mammon, and then we're going to kind of do that act on the count of three. One, two, three, we're going to throw the worries off. So you guys ready to pray this prayer? Jesus, I'm done with the spirit of mammon. I'm done worrying and stressing about money. Forgive me for worrying. I'm asking you for a grace for my finances. Not because I deserve it, but because of what Jesus paid for. I renounce the spirit of mammon. I'm done looking at money as my source. Father, you are my source. And I declare nobody can take better care of me than Dad. All right, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes and make like a little ball representing those worries. And now we're just gonna give those over to Jesus. We're gonna cast our cares on him on the count of three. So one, two, three. Get rid of those things. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. So we're gonna end with this. I don't know if you guys know what declarations are. Declarations is simply a way to release our faith using our words. Okay, and so I'm gonna give you the declaration. You repeat it after me, then I'm gonna have Pastor come up here. And so you guys ready for this? God wants me to prosper.
God wants me to prosper.
All right, I want you to really emphasize that me. I want you to make it personal. You guys ready? God wants me to prosper.
God wants me to prosper.
I expect opportunities and favor.
I expect opportunities and favor.
In every area of my life.
In every area of my life.
I live in abundance.
I live in abundance.
I am blessed and I'm a blessing. Blessings come upon me and overtake me. It's actually a picture right out of Deuteronomy 28. Most of these are right out of scripture. I'm not sure if you've ever been driving down the road and a truck passes you. You kind of get like that whoosh feeling from the truck. That's that picture of being overtaken. Okay, so let's say that with that in mind. Blessings come upon me and overtake me. I'm a magnet for blessings. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich and adds no sorrow to it. All my debt is paid in full in Jesus' name. I have the power to create wealth in order to establish God's covenant on earth. Well, there's a lot of these here. We got two more to go. I'm a conduit for what God wants to do in this world. And nobody can take better care of me than Dad. Bless you guys.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've been encouraged by this message. For more information, if you're in need of prayer or just want to connect with the community, go to reslife.org, follow us on social media, or email us anytime at reslife@reslife.org. We hope you have a blessed day, and we will see you again soon.